G'day and welcome to the Farms Advice Podcast with your host, Jack Creswell. Whether you farm it, service it, or just love it, this podcast is for you. We'll bring you the techniques and technologies you can implement into your day straight from the leaders and innovators themselves. Spread the Farms Advice so that we can reach more farmers right across Australia. Follow us on all of your socials at Farms Advice and let's get into this episode. The ATO has announced a major crackdown on taxation of family trusts. So you're a family farm, you've had a trust for 30, 40 years. That is a very long time to be structuring your business and that may be just taken away from you. Is income splitting dead? Find out in this episode with the team at Biofields on the Beyond the Tax Return series. And we welcome Ryan back to the microphone into the studio for this episode. Let's get into it. Everything mentioned in this episode is to be taken as general advice only, as the host, myself, and guest Ryan do not know your own circumstances as it can change drastically. So make sure that you go to see your expertise in accountancy or financials to get the knowledge of your own scenario or contact the team at Biofields today. Well, Ryan, welcome back to the Farms Advice Podcast. Great to have your expertise again on the Beyond the Tax Return series.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. Good to be back, mate. We'll see if I can impart some knowledge, see how we go. Yep.
Well, mate, that's what it's all about, passing on the farms advice and seeing how we can help out a few of the farmers within your circle, but also outside of the Biofield circle. That would be great as well. So let's get cracking down to agribusiness. People have heard your story. They might not want to hear it again, so we'll just get down to agribusiness. What are we going to be talking today and, like, what's the hot issue you're thinking about at Biofields?
Yep, no worries. So hot issue at the moment is some recent info coming from the ATO that is pretty detrimental to anyone operating in a trust. And the trust setups and how you go about distributing that income. So that's come out and there's been a lot of feedback in the industry about it, basically. Yeah.
Well, so, do you actually have the stats of how many people run trusts within agriculture?
I don't, mate. I don't, but I can tell you out of my own sort of list and who we deal with in Biofields, your standard family farming business, you'd have to say, 80%, I'd say, would either be directly in a trust or would have a trust somewhere in their structure. And it is really, they are, some of the bigger guys have moved on from trust because you can outgrow them. So they have, some guys are moving across to, your corporate setups and your companies and all that sort of stuff. But for your standard family farm, still making pretty good money, don't get me wrong, utilizing trusts and still doing so. The reason being is because they're relevant to farmers that they still provide a lot of asset protection for your farming land and your assets held. All right. So there's a tick there. One of the other reasons is where you make your money. So in the actual business, which is a trust, and how you make your money. So whatever that's made up of, whether it's, a bit of dividend income or farming income or whatever, when that flows down to the individual at the bottom, it keeps its same status. So farming income in a trust will be farming income to the individual. And what that means is a lot of the tax benefits that are available specific to farmers will get passed on to the individual if they are operating through a trust. Okay. So things like your averaging FMDs, small business CGT concessions, all that sort of stuff is still available by operating through a trust, where if you're operating through a company, it loses that primary production status and comes out to the individual as just normal non-primary production related income. So a lot of those benefits get lost through the corporate setup. So I suppose anyone listening to this will likely either have a trust in their structure or be interested in them. So they probably have an idea of how they work, but just a very quick basic rundown of how they work and what they're all about, just a bit of trust 101, I suppose you can say, is that, you know, a trust is its own separate entity, right? So you have the individuals and then you have the trust, which owns assets, runs a business, does whatever it does. But the beauty of a trust or a family farming trust is it's referred to as a discretionary trust. So what that means is any profits made in the business, the owner or the trustee of the trust has the discretion, has the flexibility to allocate that profit how they like to family members. Okay. So, you know, in comparison, if it's a company, there's shareholders of a company and that profit will go out in a set percentage of who owns the shares. Whereas in a trust, every year, year on year, you know, 1 year, if we're in a, say we're in a family group, Jack, you might get 80% of the profit. I might get 20. The next year I might get 80. You might get 20, depending on our personal circumstances. So it really gives that flexibility to be able to move profits around to other beneficiaries. Now, of course, that's part of why the ATO don't like them all that much, is because of the benefit that you can get from that. So they take umbrage with that to a degree, okay? What they're targeting, though, is when a... So say we're in a business, mate, all right? So we've got our farming business going. It's operating through a trust. It makes a profit, let's say, I don't know, 300 grand, whatever we make, okay? We allocate that profit out to the individuals at the end of the day, okay? But even though on the books that profit's going to the individual, the money might not land there, if you see what I mean. So, you know, I might get allocated $200,000 of the profit, but in real terms, I might take 50 grand to live off. Okay. So on the books, there's 200 grand owing to me. I've taken 50. So effectively the trust owes me that spare 150 grand. All right. We call that a loan or a unpaid present entitlement. What the ATO are targeting effectively is that unpaid present entitlement, that's legally enforceable. Okay. So that 150 grand I can call upon and get that money. All right. So that can work positively. It can work negatively. If let's say I pass away for whatever reason, right, and I don't make notification or forgiveness for it in my will, then the business is going to have to come up with that 150 grand to pay me because it owes me that money, right? It forms part of my will. If I get divorced or anything like that, it's an asset. It forms part of the assets for me. So you can see on one hand, the trust wants to allocate profit to the individual to spread the income around, spread the tax around. That creates a bit of a loan. But on the other hand, we don't really want those loans there because they're legally enforceable and they can cause headaches and issues down the track. So what sometimes happens is, let's say we're in a, your set family farm where you've got mum, dad, kids coming along. If you're allocating large profits out to those kids and those loans are building up, a lot of the times, most good accountants or whoever's around will want to make sure that those loans don't get out of control, right? So you want to peg them back a bit. So you either might a deed of forgiveness or, you know, basically a repayment of those monies will come around where the kid or the child will forgive that loan and sort of move that money back to the trust or maybe to the parents and their loan account, all right? So it's all about who gets the profits and who pays the tax, but where does the money actually end up? That's what the ATO are really targeting and where it comes from. So they're not big fans of having profits go out to certain people, but the money not follow where the profits are going. Okay.
Yep.
Now, there's been legislation around this whole area since 1979. Basically, right? So the legislation's always been there. It's called for anyone interested, it's section 100A is the issue in the spotlight at the moment. And that was really brought in back in the day to stop people really taking advantage. So in my example, we had the mum and dad and the kids, right? It's not so bad because the money stays in the family group and it's moving around. You know, maybe we get a little bit of a lower tax rate overall, but you know, it's staying in the family group, no harm, no foul. It's not too bad. But if you replace that child that got that large allocation and say bring in a not-for-profit entity, let's say like a charity or a church or something like that, and say that charity or church got that 150K profit, and then that charity or church, so that's not going to pay any tax on the allocation, right? Because it's a not-for-profit organization. If they then hand me the money back around the back, I've effectively moved profits out to another entity, got it back, the money's back in the business, and we haven't paid any tax on it. Okay. So that is originally why this legislation was brought in and why it's there. It just appears that they are effectively revisiting it at the moment, I suppose you can say. So in essence, that's what the ATO aren't happy about at the moment is the forgiving of the loans. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So it might explain the church boom going through from farmer.
Yeah. Nah, dead right. A lot of people converting and becoming certain religious, but you know, that there's difference in extremes between sort of tax planning, tax minimization, and tax evasion. That church example's obviously tax evasion.
Yep.
The allocation to the kids and splitting it between family members, that's always generally been considered tax minimization.
Yeah, definitely. And I think like as a farmer, like myself as a younger farmer trying to get my hands on the books and have a look at everything, we want to improve our position. So looking at what the ATO is doing with the trust, how they're set up, and like what's the next step, or is there another channel that farmers are going to look to, or are we just going to be controlled within these trusts a little bit more now?
Fair enough. So the trusts are great, as I said, trusts are great, they've worked in the past, and I think they will continue to work. The only reason it's really come about now is because they've been working on this. As I said, the legislation hasn't changed, all right? The legislation is the same. What's going to happen though is they've released something in 2014 to say they're going to start cracking down on these trusts and these distributions and whatnot. It's taken them until 2022 to release it, right? And part of it was because they lost a case in the courts whereby some of these guys were doing some pretty dodgy things where they're washing monies, you know, from a trust to a company back again and then out to the individual and getting some really good tax rates on it. The ATO lost a case where they always sort of advised this sort of structure, this sort of setup is going to be a no-go, right? So most people went, all right, we won't go near it. They lost the case. So that's put them under the pump a bit. So now they've brought out these recommendations or whatnot, a draft ruling and a practical compliance guideline, which has a lot of people really overstep the mark is what I'm saying. So instead of just targeting those absolute tax evasion type dodgy dealings, it's overstepped the mark to a lot of the degree and is now affecting those normal family relationships, those normal family business dealings, I suppose you can say.
Yeah, the ones that aren't tax evading, trying to find the loopholes as such, loopholes anyway. So from the downsides, what's the consequences of like continue to run it, like ATO, how they're trying to crack down on it? What are the penalties for farmers that, I don't know, maybe farmers don't even know, but they continue down the same hole. What's the impact of that?
Yeah, mate. Yep. So effectively if you've got sort of this distribution happening, the penalty is at the top rate, 47%. So that 150 grand that we were talking about with the allocation, that would, instead of being taxed at my individual tax rate, automatically goes to the top rate, which would be 47%. And then they are talking, penalty tax of 50% on top of that. So these guidelines that they've brought out, they've effectively come out swinging really hard on a lot of it. I mean, these family arrangements where, as you were saying, Jack, when you're coming back to the farm, I think most of your listeners know how averaging works and all that sort of stuff, where, you can build up a low average history while you're working as a young fella and not really having all that much income. You come into the farming business, you get allocated a lot of the profit, let's say, and you have the ability via averaging to save 30, 40 grand in tax, depending on what your profit is, right? So the saving is real there. That sort of thing's being targeted. The off-farm sibling who's going to uni but is being supported, by the farm or whatever, they're being targeted. There might be someone that is working off-farm but is not earning, significant amount of money. Maybe they're getting topped up by farming profit or trust allocations. They're going to be targeted as well. So, what sort of happened there is the ATO have come out with a big stick and basically released these draft statements, and it's put everyone on edge effectively to a degree. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a bit more than a slap on the wrist, especially when like you're dealing with $30,000, $40,000 difference per individual.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking on the allocation though. I mean, yeah, 47% on that allocation, we're talking there, 150, we're talking nearly half of that. So, 70 odd grand, in tax. It's an eye opener, and it's something, and it's new. That's the thing. It's just come out. It's new. It's still in draft, and everyone's sort of, giving their guidance back, I suppose. You've got these industry groups, accounting industry groups, business industry groups. We've done it ourselves. We've basically sent in our notifications to the ATO to say, to, air our grievances with it, to say that this isn't quite, kosher. You've effectively taking what's been considered a normal family dealing for say 30 or 40 years and are attacking it effectively. And this initial draft legislation that came out, they were even saying that they were going to retrospectively apply the penalties and the new rules back to 2014. So you can imagine if you're going along and you think you're playing by the rules, right? The ATO moved the goalposts. They move it back to 2014 and say, "Nah, you've been doing the wrong thing for the last 8 years." What impact that could have on your business? Now with all these, we've basically everyone's gone hard at the ATO and say, "You guys have, this isn't on. We're not real happy with it." And they have softened their stance since and have effectively said that they won't be applying it retrospectively at this stage unless it's an absolute a scheme or a tax evasion type scenario, whereas your normal family scenarios, they're going to, I think, play ball a little bit along those lines.
Yeah, I think like for the family farmers that are doing it properly, to get slugged all the way back to 2014 would be a bit of a good kick in the guts if it didn't kick you out of the industry.
Oh, definitely. It would be devastating. This isn't just farmers. It's any business that's related in a business, that's in a trust. So, any of your normal shops around town and all that sort of stuff, a lot of people would be affected by these changes, but definitely, because as I said in the start of the program, because the benefits are there for farmers using trusts, they are a very popular structure in the farming industry, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And like for everyone's accountant, are they running around like a headless chook currently at the moment? Or like when do people need to have all their ducks aligned and like be on top of this a bit?
Yeah, well, this is the thing, Jack, because they've brought out these draft taxation rulings and PCG statements, which have, you know, set the cat amongst the pigeons, let's say, and have sort of, you know, opened it up to everyone. It scared a lot of practitioners and growers and, you know, other people and farmers themselves. We're still waiting on the final product. Okay, so effectively we're in a bit of a state of flux. We're not 100% sure what the final product's going to look like. As I said, the original drafts that came out looked horrendous. I've read an article on Accountants Daily dated a couple of weeks ago, and that gave me a little bit of hope that they'd calm the rhetoric down a little bit and that they were softening their stance slightly. So, but we're still going to have to wait and see what the final product is, and how it looks.
Yeah, just like everything, I suppose, at the moment, and probably with the election, it might even be drawn out a little bit more, you suspect.
Yeah, well, not to get too far into politics, it was very surprising that it would that all this has come out during a Liberal National sort of LNP government. But I think it's, as I said, it's not a change. You got to remember, it's not a change in legislation. It's a change in how the ATO are going to review the legislation, or how they're going to apply the legislation to certain aspects. So I think this is actually being driven at the moment more from the ATO's point of view than the political scene. Yeah.
So quite separate, and probably more than likely going to go ahead regardless.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see, mate. Hopefully they take everyone's feedback on board and you know, fair enough, go and attack the guys doing the wrong things, but your normal family arrangements, we need to allow them to continue, because a lot of those concessions are help the entrepreneur, help the farmer, help them get ahead.
Yeah, definitely. And like changing that structure for family farms that have done it since, what was it, 1967, you said?
1979 is when it came in. When the original ledge came in, and it was there just to stop the blatant use of the incorrect use of the trust.
So looking forward, imagining it's all come through, what are we going to be doing as a family farm currently? Looking to continue with the trust, not advice as such, but like what are the different ways that we can go?
And again, we're dealing with draft legislation, so we just really wanted to get out in front of this, because there's a lot of fear out there. Anyone that sort of half read it, half knows, getting sort of 20% of the info from your accountants and industry groups, we need to understand the background behind it, what they're actually targeting. Okay, so so how might we mitigate some of the risks? So the main problem arises when the allocation is made and the loan that's then generated is subsequently gifted back. All right. So that's where the issue arises. So one way around that might be, document any expenses that are paid on that beneficiary's behalf. So if we're talking about an adult child, or, you know, a kid turning 18, or whatever the case might be, they might have some getting cars bought for them, or some housing costs, some uni fees, all that, anything related to their ongoing living expenses that are getting paid by the farm. We need to make sure that they are going through that individual's account so that it's reducing the loan and reducing the money owed to them, okay, in a legitimate way. What else can we do? We can acknowledge the debt is there, all right? So instead of, they're really only, as I said, they're targeting when the loan gets created, but then is gifted back and the money doesn't move. So if we acknowledge that the loan is there and then it's a real debt, potentially we might be able to, you know, buy a few years with the allocation and let it go through. We can, although it's not going to be give us a greatest tax outcome, maybe instead of getting profit allocations, some of these people receive wages instead, and that way that when they get the wage, it's not going to impact and increase their individual beneficiary entitlement. and those sorts of things. So there are small things that we can do. You know, if you're allocating to a company, you got to make sure that you have a real, a real Division 7A loan in place. So a loan agreement between that trust and that company so that you're ticking all the boxes with the ATO. Now, they're not going to get you back to the position that we are now where we have a pretty open run at it, but it is going to, you know, dampen some of the issues that these draft rulings have brought about, have come up.
Yeah, okay. So across like the issue of trust and how families can mitigate their risk, what are like the three takeaways that we can spot spray or just a bit of a roundup for farmers out there that want to get ahead on the topic and maybe just give their accountant a toggle?
Yeah, no, dead set. So, all right. So I've just written out a little summary here for you, Jack, just so that you're, sort of takeaway points as to what this whole thing's about. So effectively the ATO aren't all that fond of trust. We know that. They're mainly due to the discretion and the flexibility they provide for the profit allocation. They're not huge fans of that. It's not just the flexibility that they don't like. They really don't like it when the money doesn't flow where we say it's going to flow to. So if the profit's going somewhere, they really want to see the money flow to that person and that person use that money for their personal use rather than gifting it back around the back. Okay. So that's the opening sentence for it. Now, the ATO have recently lost that pretty big case that I was talking about before. Basically this guy was washing money from a trust to a company back to the trust and then out to himself living in Vanuatu. All right. So it was basically around in circles. He's in Vanuatu. He's getting the dividend from the trust at the end and they were missing out on the top up tax. So they were probably missing out. They were getting a 30% tax rate on the company, but they were missing out on that top up 17 odd cents in the dollar that they were missing out there. Now they would have been pretty confident they were going to win that case. I think this has upset them a bit, and that's why they've come out with these draft rulings on these other things, okay? So the draft rulings get released, the PCG statement comes out, and it looks like they've overstepped the mark a bit with regards to family arrangements and whatnot, and especially the fact that the original penalties would be retrospective back to 2014. So that came out, it felt like, you know, that's uncalled for. They are then inundated with massive angry submissions from the business and accountancy groups, voicing their displeasure with what they've sort of put forward. And now they've slightly walked it back a bit, some of their rhetoric as to, no longer looking to retrospectively apply it and have softened their stance a touch. So that's where we stand, Jack. I mean, it's a bit of a tricky one because we haven't actually got a final resolution on the whole thing, but I just wanted to try and share some light if people have been reading certain things in the papers or hearing things on the news or, you know, however you get your info as to what's the history behind it, why is it there, and what have the ATO recently submitted to the industry as to how they're going to apply their rules to these situations going forward.
Yeah, I think it's good just to get a bit of notice on what's happening wherever you get your news from, and especially as you said before, around 80% of your clients are running it. So if it does go a little bit sour for each client, it is going to take a fair impact to restructure and see where they can go from there. And
yeah, definitely, mate. Yeah, long term, yeah, maybe restructures on the cards, or we've just got to realize that maybe from a tax effective point of view, trusts aren't going to be as effective as they were in the past, where we've really got to see what the final product's going to be from the ATO before we can make a call on it, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, definitely. Who can you trust? I'll just admit, coming up, come up with a topic.
Yeah. Thinking about that one for a while, were you, mate? Got it out there?
Yeah, I've been laying on it for about half an hour now. But Brian, thanks for coming on and just giving everyone a bit of notice about what's happening within trust, like not only in WA, but right across Australia, impacting not only just agricultural farms, businesses, but businesses right across Australia, navigating within a national trust, for their business.
Yep, nah. My pleasure, mate. Happy to be on. Yep, it's been good. I've been listening to a few of your podcasts, and I think you're doing a good job
as well. Yeah, we're getting a good mix of stories and topics that is like always relevant to farmers, some evergreen content as well. But for yourself, on the Beyond the Tax Return series, who's coming up next?
From the Byfields crew, I believe it's going to be Jack. So Jack Hayes, and I think he's going to be discussing some end of financial year issues and those sorts of things with regards to, you know, what you can do prior to June just to make sure you're you got everything in line. Yeah, right, ducks in a row.
Yeah, the best is yet to come for you as an accountant.
Yeah.
End of financial year. Well, Ryan, how can we contact you and the team at Byfields? You're at Northam.
Yeah, mate, I'm in Northam. You caught us on a good day. The mask restrictions came off today, so I've been breathing some air in WA here today. It's been good. You can get us on our website, look at www.byfields.com.au, or if you want to contact the Northam office directly, 0896213200. Yep.
Thank you for tuning in to the Farms Advice podcast. It is produced by Advertise Digital, the agribusiness marketing specialist. Go to farmsadvice.com.au for more information on this episode and the others before, and spread the Farms Advice. If you love this episode, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts and subscribe, as it helps other farmers find us too. But until then, next Tuesday, keep on farming. In the spirit of reconciliation, the Farms Advice podcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to their elders past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.